You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson, home of the biggest selection of Harley-Davidsons in the Midwest. I-29 south of the airport or shop online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Obviously aware of the situation with Willie Gay and understanding what you can and can't say, but do you anticipate him playing Sunday, and how are you handling that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know, Sam. I'm going to leave that up to Andy. I'm sure he'll address it, but, you know, if this happened in the game and it was an injury, you know, today we just operated that way, but we'll see what happens.
And now, happy to see that the sunlight has warmed things up to 19 degrees, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks to the guys at the Zone over at Tickets for Less. Don't forget, Tickets for Less has you covered with all the seats to all the events, whether you just went in the door or you want the best seats in the house. Call my guys at Tickets for Less. Always great to hear them. Having a special. Always going to save money by going with Tickets for Less to start with. But then when they got things going on as well, take advantage of it. Let's go. Call Tickets for Less. Numbers in my phone. I know it by heart. 913-685-3322. Call the folks over at Tickets for Less. Get your parking. Get everything you need for this big game. And by the way, it's going to be a lot warmer for the game. Right? Like, I was actually kind of hoping for, you know, a few days ago, I was listening to the PFF forecast. And Eager and George were looking ahead to the weather, and they had it in the upper 20s. And we're talking about how Josh Allen, I know he played very well this last time in cold weather, but previous to that had not played well in cold weather. And as I think we pointed out on the Central Bank pregame show, the reason ESPN gave was because his feet are cold.
It's actually,
I guess everybody else doesn't have that problem.
I guess not. You know? Maybe he should wear socks. I don't know. It's just kind of
I can't remember who the reporter was, but she's like, he says it's because he can't get his feet warm. Like, yeah, like everyone else. Like, it's freaking cold.
That's such a weird deal.
I was like, I know she had a point that, like, you know, oh, he plays well when his feet are warm, but he doesn't play well. By the way, this guy played at Wyoming, can we point out, too.
Yeah.
Not at Florida State. Okay, he played at Wyoming, and we're just getting around to this issue that his feet are cold. He's got, his tootsies are cold. His tootsies are cold.
I'm seeing
so
now
I was
about
kind of
30,
hoping for cold weather.
Yeah, about 35 degrees maybe for kick. It's getting a little nicer, 44 for the high, and the low that night is supposed to be 32, so I'm seeing somewhere around 35, 36 at kick.
I don't think that, you know, once you start playing, that's not even cold.
Nah,
you know?
No. No, I think that's just football. Everyone rock and roll. Once you get going, the weather will not be a factor on Sunday.
Don't get me wrong. It ain't the Australian Open, okay, where it's summer down there. I've got that on the TV. But, no, it'll be fine. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Busy day, as Thursdays always are during the football season. We got our program picks coming up next hour with our buddy Fat Jack. Peter Yates, Enoch will join us. We'll play Stump the Chumps as well. Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus is going to join us. We'll talk some quarterbacks. We'll talk some Chiefs and Bills. We might even squawk a little bit about the draft. I know, you know, the Chiefs are preparing for the draft, even though Chiefs fans are not. Isn't it nice that the draft is not like a 9-month season for us anymore?
God, that was so. Well, season's over. They're picking 6th or 12th or whatever. Let's see where they can get a quarterback.
I save all my notebooks, and like every page is a day. You guys know what kind of nerd I am, but for those that don't, and every page of these legal pads is one day show. And I was looking for something, I can't remember what it was. I was looking back and I saw, like, it was October like 10th, and it was mock draft was one of the things I had down for the topic.
The good old days.
Yeah, I mean this is a while ago. This is pre Andy Reid. But it was like, you know, it was during the Todd Haley or Romeo Crennel, and it was like, you know, break out the mock drafts on October 10th. It's a little different around here now. Anyway,
it's been replaced with that feeling of anxiety for an entire month, or close to an entire month, which we've had now. This is the fourth consecutive year where the minute the season ended, oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take that over. Hey, who's – maybe they can move up to 12.
Yeah. I just read some. I texted somebody. I said, hey, you believe so-and-so didn't know so-and-so? And they texted back, that guy has a flip phone. I was like, okay.
That's well done.
This is enough said.
He has a Motorola StarTAC.
I'll share with you what it is during the break. But I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, Trevor Sikkema, we will touch on the draft because I know Brett Veach and his staff are getting ready, starting that process. They're through the free agent process and now into the drafting process. They're in the front office, so we'll talk a little bit of draft as well with Trevor Sikkema from PFF. Bob Glauber, our NFL insider, always a fun conversation. We'll find out if Bob threatens violence against me again.
Could be.
You know, it's kind of a regular deal.
He's feeling kind of sporty after his third New Jersey Sports Writer of the Year award or something like that.
Right, which as I understand, you know, pales in comparison to the New York Sports Writer of the Year award. I mean, anybody can win the Jersey Sports Writer of the Year award.
Duh.
You know, I think it's just, you know, they're just skiing in the wake of his Hall of Fame credentials. Oh, we better give it to the guy who got in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to tell him that, too. So that's coming up at 5. Listen for that at 5 o'clock. We start with the news of the day with the Kansas City Chiefs. Willie Gay, one of three players not at practice today for the Chiefs. Darrell Williams and Rashad Fenton, right? Did I have that right? I tweeted it. You'd think I would remember what the hell I tweeted. But I did it.
Yes.
So fast at the beginning. I just want to make sure. I'm 99% sure, but I just want to make sure because
giving me concerned about my playoff fantasy football lineup.
Yeah. Why? Because you were – what's giving you concern?
Because I didn't drop Darrell Williams.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy.
Well, I'll put it out there. I don't know that anybody would mind. I don't know. I'll get on the thread and text and say, does anybody care? I don't think anybody would care.
Okay.
The purpose of having a deadline is not to hose somebody into getting hurt. Right. It's just to get everybody to get their players in.
Don't be that guy.
Just tweet that out there and say, does anybody care if I drop Darrell Williams? He didn't practice again today. I don't think that's in the spirit of what it was. I'll make an executive decision. Go ahead and drop him. Since I'm out of it because of freaking Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury callback from Tuesday's show. Since I'm out of it and have no dog in the fight, I'll make the decision. You're fine. Drop Darrell Williams. Just send me a text.
Cool.
And I'll update the rosters. Anyway, Willie Gay is the news, obviously.
Yeah.
Damage done to a vacuum, right? Is it a vacuum and a phone? At his mother of his child's. Listen, that's not good. I'm not going to put lipstick on it and try to say that this is the proper behavior and how you should handle a situation. It's not. We all know it's not, and it can't be trivialized. It does need to be pointed out very clearly that it's not violence against another person. You know, I'd much rather have somebody hit a vacuum or kick a vacuum or whatever happened than damage a vacuum than damage a person. And so there was a restraint there in the sense that whatever frustration it was, or I don't know, maybe the vacuum attacked him. I don't think so. But, you know, presuming there was frustration there, and that's what he did. Not good, right? It's not good. But it's not the worst thing. I don't want to overblow it either. And I think that needs to be pointed out as well. It's a serious enough situation. I think it's got him in court now-ish. I think, wasn't it this afternoon?
But I saw 1:30, yeah.
1:30. So it has prevented him from practicing. And a reason to not have that kind of behavior is because it's affecting your job. And that's why we'll talk about it. He's not at practice. So it is a topic. I've always said my opinion on personal lives are it's not a subject until it begins to affect somebody, you know, at their job, you know, that I cover, right? And this is affecting his job when he's not at practice. And, you know, a couple of things jump at me. One, I think we are more sensitive. Now, I was, I was a little bit surprised today when I brought up to Steve Spagnuolo the subject of mental health with Willie Gay. And I don't know if this is, you know, if it was a figure of speech or what, but on October 8th, Willie Gay tweeted out, I love y'all, just know my mental health is effed up. I think that's important for the conversation, that the man tweeted that out. And there was a lot of people, that responded to it, you know, a lot of it mostly media members, near as I can tell, that were firing out, or maybe that's how Twitter propagates, you know, gives people I follow and puts them up there for me first. I don't know. I know Twitter, but I'm not a Twitter, you know, expert. Anyway, I'm a little surprised, right, that Steve Spagnuolo, you know, doesn't, you know, that's not something that when that tweet goes out, I know the organization's aware of it because I know Andy Reid responded to it, right? I remember being, you know, the Zoom where Andy said, well, we're glad he's, you know, asking for help, right? That's my recollection of it, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep.
You know, let's hear this. This is just to be clear, because I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. Steve Spagnuolo was at the podium earlier today, and I mentioned he said first that he wasn't going to address, you know, anything about Willie Gay, that he wasn't at practice, and that, you know, he was going to let Andy Reid talk about it. I said just, you know, he did have a tweet earlier this year talking about mental health. Were there any signs that was, you know, that there was an issue there leading up to this event?
I wasn't aware of what you're talking about there, Sarin. But I tell you, all I can say about Willie is I love working with him. He's been terrific. I mean, I think you guys know he had a baby, and I talked to him about that a lot. Yeah, hopefully things will work out for the best for everybody.
Look, I want to add to that subject on there. You know, he did have a baby recently, and I've heard that, you know, there were complications with the baby, and, you know, it was, I mean, the phrase I've heard is touch and go for a little while, right? So, and I think that probably, you know, if I were to dig down deep into that, you know, again, it hadn't really affected his performance till now. Now is probably a reason to do a little bit more digging. I have done a little bit more, and I do think that tweet was in connection, that there's a timeline that those two things, the child and that tweet, you know, go hand in hand. I am happy to hear that Steve Spagnuolo talks to Willie Gay, that he talks to him. But I think Steve Spagnuolo is a very well-respected coach by the players as a man, which, you know, I think is, frankly, in the grand scheme of life, is more important than him as a coach. But he's also very respected as a coach as well. We mentioned when they hired him, Bob Glauber talked to a bunch of the Giants that had played for him, and he said, you know, the way they described him was OG. Original gangster. And for an old white guy to be called that is, it, make no mistake about it, an immense term of endearment and respect, the way it was being used. And I think that continues here. And so it did, I'm sure he's aware. I don't know if he's just covering and not going to, you know, doesn't want any further lines of questions about, you know, where Willie Gay's mental health is, and so he's just going to play dumb because that kind of ends the discussion, because it did end the discussion. Nobody followed up with another question about it. Or if it's like, well, I don't know anything about Twitter because I'm not on Twitter. But, yeah, I know the guy's been going through some things, and I know he does because he mentioned the baby, and I think that's a big part of it. Look, managing people, anyone who's been a manager and a manager of a lot of people, managing a 53-man roster, a 16-man practice squad, 12-man coaching. I don't know. What do they got, 15 coaches now? I don't know, 16, 18? I'd have to count up how many coaches. Not to mention the analytics people, the front office, the personnel side, all of it between Brett Beach and Andy Reid, whom I kind of feel like, you know, are over all of it. The equipment people, the support people, the PR department. You're managing a lot of people. You're managing a lot of personalities. Right. And unfortunately, when you're managing NFL players, a lot of times you're getting somebody that is not exactly a worldly individual. Willie Gay Jr. grew up in Starkville, Mississippi, went to college in Starkville, Mississippi, and really basically had never left home until he came to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I'm not saying that's a reason to go and damage someone's vacuum cleaner. It's not. I'm telling you that this is not a worldly individual. That his maturation, his seeing the world, like I've always pointed out to interns, you know, and I've talked about this, and guys, we've talked about it, that for me, two of the most important things that have ever happened in my life was, one, going to college in New York, and that was important, and that was something I discussed with my mother, and we thought would be good, because it was me and my mom my whole life, and that it would be good for there to be a little bit of separation, right? It was hard, you know, but it was a good thing to not be able to run home and have mom do my laundry every 3 days. Like, we decided, hey, I need to go away and see a different part of the world and gain that experience. And we were right. For me, I'm not saying this is for everybody, but for me, that was a good thing. And the second thing was living in Las Vegas for 2.5, 3 years. I mean, that was a big growing up process. Willie Gay is going through those moments now. I mean, he basically has been at home until he came to the Chiefs. And he is a soft-spoken, kind guy. I have personally witnessed Willie Gay do kind and charitable things that he didn't have to do, and to give of his time. And, you know, I believe that this is a person, and everyone I've talked to tells me, this is a person with a good heart. People with good hearts get put in difficult situations, get put in situations where they don't have the life experiences on how to handle it. And believe me, anyone who's had a baby out there knows, if you've had more than one, for you know, you remember what the difference between number one and number two. But there's no life experience that prepares you for it. Okay? Having a human being that is completely dependent upon you, you and your significant other, it rocks your world, man. And, you know, to go through all of this all at the same time, when you admittedly, at least according to his tweet, are battling some kind of mental health, it's a difficult thing, right? It's a difficult thing. The good news is nobody was hurt, right? But I do think that the Kansas City Chiefs need to make sure that they treat this situation as more than how do we get Willie back on the field, right? Willie Gay hurt his knee last year in practice leading up to the Super Bowl, and he didn't get to play in the Super Bowl because the Chiefs had to take care of his knee. He had a torn meniscus. He needed surgery. He was going to be out for, I think it was 3 or 4 months because of the surgery, and the Chiefs did the right thing. Nobody pressured him to play. No one does anymore, not with the NFLPA there to back you. But they, you know, he didn't play in the game, and he got surgery done. Willie Gay's not at practice today, and he shouldn't be at practice until he's mentally ready to be at practice. And that needs to be taken seriously. And I believe it is by the Kansas City Chiefs. But it needs to be more than just, hey, Willie, okay, you got your court date out of the way? Great, we'll see you at practice at whatever time. Or we'll see you for film. There's a bigger picture. And I think, you know, as an individual, Willie Gay has spent his entire life, I have no doubt, running and lifting and working out and preparing to take on guards and tackles and centers and run with tight ends and running backs and wide receivers. But there is no prep work for having a child. There is no prep work for having a child that has special needs. There is nothing that can prepare you for that. And it's not easy. And I think that stress does exist in this home situation. Again, I'm not here to make excuses. You can't behave that way. But I think when we view this subject, we need to view it from what all is going on in this man's life. And there is more to life than just his ability to play football. And there's certainly a lot more going on in Willie Gay's life right now. Let's take a break. We'll come back, lighten the mood a little bit. Let's talk about quarterbacks. And from a football standpoint, which quarterbacks in this playoff have the most at stake? Where does Patrick Mahomes fit into this equation? Where does Josh Allen fit into this equation? We'll do that next. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter. It's at SorenPetro, SorenPetro.
The program with Soren Petro.
I'm all about ball. I love ball.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, talking football to get things started. We are going to talk a little, we're going to talk a lot of football. Let's be honest, it's a prime time for football. That's what we're going to discuss. We're going to talk a little bit about what quarterbacks have the most at stake. Yesterday we did coaches. We're always overly ambitious, aren't we? Thinking we're going to get to all these topics. I mean, for crying out loud, just so many topics. Just we put them in the topic drawer and leave them there. But I did want to get to this because I think it's an interesting way to look at. I think it's a preview. Does this sound fair? It's a preview for how we're going to, you know, what next week's topics are going to be.
Yeah.
Right? When the way we do it, it's like, what's at stake? The way we described it is, what you know, who has the most at stake? And we did the head coaches. And I think we talked about it going into last week, and we said that, you know, Kyle Shanahan was one that had a lot at stake, but Mike McCarthy was top of the list just because of the pressure and everything that comes with it. And what Monday, all day Monday, was a Mike McCarthy referendum nationally, right? That's what it was. So, in other words, we nailed it, right? We
nailed it.
But between coach and quarterback, which are the biggest topics out there, You know, I think you're left with what is going to be the biggest conversation pieces next week. And I saw this. Where did I see it? There's a story. Let me get it here in front of me. Football might be the ultimate team sport. Increasingly, only one position matters, right? Like, you mean what was told to us by Vince Lombardi like 50 years ago, 60 years ago, yeah, when it mattered even less than it does now?
Yeah.
Anyway, but from this piece, it's
Those are the only two things that have wins and losses put next to them, quarterbacks and head coaches. That's why we talk about them.
Yeah, exactly. By QBR, the quarterbacks that are playing in this round, first, second, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, 11th, and 13th.
Wow. Six of the eight in the top eight. And the other two in the top
11th 15. And 13th.
Yeah.
I mean, that pretty much says, like, it's why I had a wager with Jeff Chedilla. We'll talk about this on our 2D podcast tonight, where I looked it up. I gave him, I said, listen, I will give you 2-1 odds. In other words, I will give you four teams to my two teams, right? And because he was talking about the value of defense. I said, the quarterback's more important than the defense. And I said, we'll take Buffalo out of it because they have both a great quarterback and a great defense. And you take whatever four defensive teams you want, and I'll take two quarterbacks. And I took at that time Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. So Chiefs and Chargers. More reason. Cliff Kingsbury, out. Brandon Staley, out. When you're costing me money in my fantasy leagues and my bets, you're out. You're dead to me. Okay? In a figurative sense, right? We just had a serious subject, so probably not the time to use that as a comedic term. But, you know, I'm joking, obviously. But and I gave Jeff, I said, who do you want? And he took four teams. Titans, Patriots, Who else? Titans, Patriots. There was one that didn't make it. Ravens. And anyway, we're both down to – he's down to the Titans and I'm down to the Chiefs. You know, and it's because the quarterback is what matters.
Yeah. It is – what that number
shows – Colts was the other team. Colts was the other team.
What that number shows, the QBR rankings you just gave out, is – you don't have to have a top – I mean, or let me change it around. If you have a top 10 guy, it's not a guarantee you're going to be good in the playoffs. But if your guy's middle of the pack, you're probably hosed.
Yeah, you're probably hosed. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
All right, so now here we sit with those eight quarterbacks. Who has the most at stake? Let's just run down the list instead of counting it down. What is your list? Do we want to make Curtis go first since he usually just wants to copy you, Jed? Or do you want to do
thunder.
The honors, Jed? What do you think?
I'm fine going first. Curtis can steal my thunder here in a minute.
Okay.
So,
let's do that. You give me your order. Most at stake for the quarterbacks.
Most at stake. I go Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, Jimmy G, Ryan Tannehill, Patrick Mahomes the second, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Tom Brady.
Well, first of all, I have Tom Brady last. Does everybody have Tom Brady last?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I clearly do.
The least at stake.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you just rambled yours off.
I don't think his legacy will be affected much at all. Last year, he checked the only remaining box, winning outside of Belichick.
So, yes. All right. So, Tom Brady at the bottom of the barrel, right? As far as, like, literally, if he wins a Super Bowl or loses in this round, what the hell does it matter?
Yeah, nothing.
Like, what would he – how do you – when you're already the GOAT, unquestioned – right, there was a while, well, I don't know, Peyton Manning, maybe. I still like John Elway. Joe Montana was it. You know, there was a time where that, there's no discussion.
Yeah.
So clearly he's
He could go 10 for 28 with four picks in a 15-point Bucks loss. It's just a game.
And we would still
raindrop
go.
Raindrop on the ocean.
We would go, maybe he's too old?
Yeah.
Maybe. Because he's debunked
say,
being.
We'd say, man, that's going to really motivate him for next year. He's coming back.
He's debunked that he's too old so many times, and now he's ridiculously 45 years old that we won't even – no one even – even I won't go down there. And I had him dead a couple of times, so I'm not going there. All right, Curtis, what's your list of the quarterbacks most at stake, and then we'll break down why.
Well, I wasn't going to say Allen, but Jets kind of convinced me to get right – no. it's Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady.
Wow. See, I go Rodgers, Garoppolo, Stafford, Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady. Mahomes is not – Brady's in his own class. Mahomes certainly has more to gain. But he's already, like, the unquestioned kind of heir apparent to the top spot, like not the GOAT. But whenever Tom Brady's done, you know, he's going to be the guy. There's definitely going to be a period when Aaron Rodgers hangs it up that he's going to be the most accomplished quarterback in football. He's definitely going to be the elder statesman or the most accomplished. And so I don't know how much – what does another championship get him? It gets him a lot. There's no doubt getting a second Super Bowl is big. He needs to do it along the way to be in the conversations of one of the greatest of all time. Nobody mentions Dan Marino anymore. He's never won a title. Aaron Rodgers' name doesn't get brought up there. Like, we've, you know, I heard Nate talking about it the other day. He said, you know, I called Aaron Rodgers the greatest thrower, and I think this is a great way to put it. I think he is the greatest thrower of the football, but he can't be the best quarterback of all time with only one championship. Right. And that's why I got Aaron Rodgers at the top. I'm curious as to why you think, Josh, like having only one championship and perhaps leaving Green Bay, a team that's been good enough, and shooting your way away from this franchise that you seemingly have been insulted by, if he would do it, it's vital that he go out with a championship. To me, I otherwise I think it's like, hey, you know, I don't think the Packers are going to be better without you, but it's time for the Packers to move on and you know, at least get on the dating scene. I don't think that they're going to marry Jordan Love. I don't think that's going to be the answer. But no. You know, at least get out there and make yourself available and try to find the right quarterback. And that's what I would say for the Packers, because this relationship's broke. You know, immediately what you got waiting in line ain't better, but. You know, you're at least getting on. But why do you think Josh Allen has the most at stake?
And by the way, I have Mahomes or Rodgers too, so it is pretty close. And I just think so much of I think he has the up and the down greatly. I mean, we discussed earlier or yesterday, like when you say how much at stake, is it to gain or to lose? And it's a kind of a combination of the two. And I think Allen has a lot to gain and a lot to lose, I think, by particularly this week. I think of all these guys, he's the one whose judgment will be most decided by what happens this weekend. And because he's, as I said yesterday, he's tied to Mahomes. Not just because they played for the title last year, but because he's there because they passed on Mahomes. So he kind of – there's part of him, I think, that feels like he has to at least be as good, or that play didn't work for the Bills or whatever. That kind of is on his shoulders whether he likes it or not. If he wins on Sunday, he's beaten the only guy that beat him in the postseason. He's beaten them twice this year on their turf.
That's actually not true. Josh Allen has a loss in the postseason besides – Patrick Mahomes, he lost the year before.
I keep forgetting that he was they were in. I can't remember who they lost to, Tennessee, something like that. Anyway, but he certainly avenged the biggest loss of his postseason career, and he's won now twice on Patrick Mahomes' turf, and he can claim to be I'm the guy. Patrick Mahomes is old stuff. I'm here now. I beat him twice. I beat him in the playoffs. I'm moving forward. If he loses that game. He's down two. The win in week five means nothing, and he's not going to be able to get back to that spot. I think there's a lot on Josh Allen in that regard.
Jed, where do you have Allen?
I have Allen number six.
Yeah, I guess I think Curtis, and it'll be interesting to see if this is the reaction. Your statement that he has, you know, that he's, you know. Patrick Mahomes is yesterday's news was basically what you were saying. If he wins this,
if he wins, he can make that claim.
He can make that claim, but I don't believe that. Like if he wins, if it's a meltdown, it's probably around Patrick Mahomes. There's going to be a bunch of guys that, you know, off their hands for picks and other stupid things. Can't tackle anybody. He can't get back on the field. Like we've never seen a game where Mahomes just goes out there and sucks.
No. Not in the postseason.
You know, I guess the closest might be the Titan game. I mean, I know they couldn't get anything going. We've seen them not be able to get something going against the Colts in 19. You know, the offensively, he didn't, you know, they couldn't really get it going. But for the most part, so for me, I don't think Josh Allen wins this game that everyone goes, well, Allen's better than Mahomes. I don't think that's at stake here. That's why I would put him down further.
All right.
I that doesn't mean I'm right. It just I don't think that's at stake. I think he's got a long way to go. I think one win head to head in the postseason would now make him 2-2 head to head overall against him, right?
Yeah. But I think it would also maybe funnel into a little bit, and that's why I've got Mahomes at three, the diminishing returns of Patrick Mahomes. People have been trying all year on the national scene to put someone next to him or above him. It was Herbert. It's been, you know, Joe Burrow a few weeks ago. People were, you know, all these quarterback matchup. Oh, we'll give it to Cincinnati in this one. Allen's the guy. And he would have gone from Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl participant, and then out in the second round. And although I don't necessarily think that, I think some of the narrative will be that there's something of a changing of the guard in the AFC if Josh Allen wins, and then particularly if he goes on and wins the Super Bowl. I think there's a really high ceiling for what Josh Allen can be if he wins at all that I don't think is there yet for other quarterbacks.
So I'm curious, like how, like then, so Matt Stafford, you don't think there's more? Because I've got Stafford up above him, and I've got Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I actually think Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, this isn't a monetary thing that we're talking about as what's at stake, but the guy who's got the most at risk monetarily is clearly Jimmy Garoppolo, because he's not going to be in San Francisco next year. And if he goes out guns blazing with a win in this round against the Packers and then a loss in the NFC Championship game where he has a good game, you know, you're talking about a guy that can kind of maybe have some say in where he goes. Throw for 170 yards and no touchdowns and lose to the Packers and contribute to the loss with a couple of picks even. I mean, like, he did not play well against the Cowboys. They won in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo. Yep. If he has another one of those games, he's going wherever they tell him, and he's taking whatever they offer. Right? So from, like, monetarily, it's him. But, like, if you want to be able to say, like, hey, I'll go to Pittsburgh, right? I'll go to a team that's up and running and ready to go. I'll go to Denver. Like, I'm down with that versus, like, oh, you're shipping me to Carolina where I could be the next guy to be 1 year and crap. Like, I think there's a tremendous – I think there's more on the line for him. And Matt Stafford just won his first playoff game. I mean, if Matt Stafford rolls through these playoffs, then Matt Stafford can say, yeah, it was just the Lions, right? Like, I could have been winning championships.
I haven't
But
before.
It's all the – my first year out of Detroit and I'm in the Super Bowl, like, that to me can rewrite his entire career, where Josh Allen still has so much career left to, like, be able to say, like, well, you know, we still think he's going to have a lot of games. Right? He's going to have a lot of matchups with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, this is going to be a lot of fun. I think people are already writing that narrative right now. But, like, Matt Stafford is kind of like playing for his career all in 1 year.
And with Stafford, Seren, the Rams are in a position where they've mortgaged so much of the future for this season. You know, they put their chips all
in. Which is what they seem to do.
So if Stafford's going to get a ring, it seems like it's almost got to be this year. That's why I had him at number two.
Yeah, that is true. You're right, Curtis. They do it every year, but now there's no more chips to do it with.
Right.
You know, all the first and seconds are gone for like the next 4 years. So if Stafford and the Rams, you know, if Stafford doesn't have a good year, like it could be that they watch each one of those big guns go bye bye. Each of the next, you know, each year, one gun each year is gone.
Right.
Right. Like that's one of the things that, because Von Miller's a free agent, so he's going to walk away. They're not going to re-sign him. Somebody's going to overpay him on a 2 or 3 year deal. I think, or they're going to dig an even bigger hole for the future by going ahead and doubling down on 32-year-old Von Miller and giving him a fat contract to keep him there, which, you know, to try to keep the window open, say, one more year. But, yeah, I think there's a lot on the line for Matt Stafford, because I think he's in the unique position to where, like, basically what he does this year is going to write, like, this is who he is. Because the Lions are so bad and have been so bad for so long, and we're bad this year without him, you know, that the narrative ends up being, no, this is a guy that, isn't it sad that he didn't get more opportunities, you know, to win championships, because he's a championship-caliber quarterback.
Yeah.
Because I had given up on him. Like, I love the arm talent. And going back to the Alex Smith, you know, that we talk about, well, I'm hoping that they eventually say, hey, Matt Stafford's available. Right? Like, that was the dream. And I finally got to the point where I'm like, this guy – and I had even heard rumblings that, like, You know, he can't even handle, you know, comparisons to certain quarterbacks. Like, you're like, oh, my God, it's not just the Lions. It's Matt Stafford's mentally weak. He's getting a chance to completely rewrite that. So yeah.
Beat Brady on the road, and you've shaken off a lot of the stigma that's chased him for more than 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Ryan Tannehill, which I don't have at the top because let's take a break, and I'll come back. I'll talk about Ryan Tannehill when we come back. You listen to the program. We're going to do some a little bit more on the quarterbacks that are in this playoffs. We'll get to our program picks coming up next hour, Stump the Chumps. Bob Glauber, a lot of football talk here today in the program.
The program with Seren Petro.
Bow down to my radio.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro with you as we make our way through a busy Thursday, frigid Thursday. Looking ahead to the Chiefs and the Bills. Ryan Tannehill gets no love, right, for these playoffs. Like, I think Ryan Tannehill's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I like Ryan Tannehill. Who's better, Ryan Tannehill or Alex Smith?
The fact that I have to sit here and ponder that says something.
Or I guess you could say irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, like it's close enough to not worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go there?
Yeah.
That would be more where I lean to. I mean, I know at least from the Pro Football Focus grades, I think from two seasons ago, Tannehill was ranked as the third most efficient quarterback in the entire NFL. But when you pair him with the running game that Derrick Henry presents, it's hard not to be efficient.
Except for he hasn't had Derrick Henry for half the season.
I was talking about in the past, just comparing him to Alex Smith. I think that comparison's quite apt.
21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Last year, 33-7. Boy, I didn't realize he bottomed out that hard this year. First year in Tennessee, led the league in yards per attempt at 9.6. 7-3 as a starter, taking over for Marcus Mariota with the Titans. He's 30-13. But, again, the statistics aren't overwhelming, so, and I get it, the running game, Vrabel, defense, it's pretty good. If he were to win a championship, though, he's clearly then moves definitively well ahead of Alex Smith.
Yeah.
What would be the comp if Ryan Tannehill wins a championship?
A singular championship.
Yeah, at 33 years old.
Brad Johnson.
Really? You don't think his body of work is better than that?
Yeah, maybe. I was just trying to think of a guy who won one title and did so later and had been considered something of a game manager and latched onto a title largely because of the players around him and not necessarily him, although it's different there. Maybe a cut above that. But
9 seasons, he has on his resume 6 20-touchdown seasons, 1 30-touchdown season. 2 above 25. It is more Alex Smith, but with more picks. I mean, I didn't realize. I was thinking he'd hung a little better numbers than what I'm looking at. 30,000 career yards passing. I mean, for one thing, if he would win a championship, he solidifies, like, another contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes the unquestioned guy, and he already is. But, like, if you were Tennessee, would you? And Russell Wilson's available. Like, you'd trade him for Russell Wilson, right?
Yes.
It'd be him and a couple of first-round picks or something for Russell Wilson. Right? But if he wins a championship, that's a different view.
Yeah, two firsts. That might be what it takes to get it done, but that's pretty pricey.
Where did you each have Joe Burrow?
I have Joe Burrow at by the way, I'll give you another comp for Tannehill if he wins, possibly, because at that point, he went on to win a second one, Jim Plunkett.
Yeah.
He won his first at 33. He won again at 36, but I have Burrow fifth.
And I had Burrow at 7.
Just because there's so much,
you know, I don't think
there already.
Well, yeah, and I don't think he has much to lose because he's kind of ahead of the curve. But he can vault himself into the upper echelon if he gets to the Super Bowl, and he can kind of position himself as you know the next guy if he just gets to the conference. Win at Tennessee, and you're in the conference championship. He can I mean, this team seems to be a year ahead of where they should. So I think there's almost no downfall for him losing at this point. But he can change that drastically, the upside of that, if he gets there.
And the only reason why it gives me pause that Burrow's so low and why I probably should have him higher is because, in spite of the fact that I view them as the baby Bengals with a whole bunch of young talent all around him, he and that talent are going to get expensive real quick. So to me, that's probably why I should have him up maybe a rank or two. But still, with how, like Curtis had said, being above or ahead of the curve, I think that's why I have him at 7.
Interesting. I don't have him real high either. I have him at 6. But, you know, if he wins a title, if he get on a roll, then – you know, he vaults like Curtis. I would think that if Josh Allen has all this at stake, doesn't Burrow have it? Wouldn't he make Patrick Mahomes yesterday's news as well?
Maybe on the upside. I just don't think there's anything for him to lose. Right? I think as Josh Allen has some more to lose, and I have Burrow ahead of Tannehill and Garoppolo because I think all three of those guys will be changed by a win, but I think Burrow's win will be seen more as a sign of things to come. I think he gets vaulted to a little higher level than Tannehill or Garoppolo does with a win.
That's why I think, like, to your point, that's why I think he's got, you know, because he's got all that expectation. Like, he's just kind of actually, you know, he's been given the crown. Now he's just kind of earning it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's fair.
Interesting. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get our program picks. What do we think is going to happen this weekend? We'll do it next.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, what team has lost the most games in the divisional playoff round? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.